Hey, e-commerce Fastlane listeners, thanks for tuning in today. Just before we get started, today's show is made possible by our friends at Support Zebra. Now, you can grow your Shopify-powered business with Support Zebra's outsourced services tailored specifically for direct-to-consumer brands. They're trusted by hundreds of startups, including some of the biggest and fastest-growing D2C retailers. They excel in managing many critical functions, such as sales conversion, cart abandonment, customer retention, order tracking and returns, live chat, bill payment recovery, and even email ticketing. They manage your pre- and your post-purchase customer service experience. This allows you and your team to more focus on your core operations. With Support Zebra, you're not just outsourcing, you're actually extending your team with highly skilled English-speaking agents who are ready to serve your customers across multiple channels in all time zones. Stop the worry of scaling customer service and improve your customer support experience while slashing costs by 50%. You heard me right, 50% lower costs on the pre- and the post-purchase customer service experience, all through supportzebra.com. Now, huge thanks to Support Zebra for sponsoring today's episode. And now, let's shift gears and welcome our next sponsor, retention.com. Are you looking to recover more lost shoppers on your Shopify store? Retention.com is here to help you with their identity resolution software that significantly improves your Klaviyo flow revenue by 2 to 3x. Now, they help expand your email list by identifying over 80% of your anonymous website visitors. And get this, even if they haven't filled out a form. Now, Retention.com knows these potential customers and shares their email address in a thanks for visiting our site Klaviyo sequence. You can lower your acquisition cost, you can acquire more customers, and you can skyrocket your revenues. I highly, highly recommend retention.com to turn your anonymous shoppers into revenue. Now get a quick demo and a special trial offer at ecommercefastlane.com/retention. That's ecommercefastlane.com/retention. A big thanks to our sponsors for supporting the show. Now let's dive into today's episode.
You're listening to E-Commerce Fastlane, the podcast show to help you build, manage, grow, and scale a successful and thriving company powered by Shopify. Listen to real conversations with partners and subject matter experts as they share proven practical strategies, platforms, and the best Shopify apps to help you accelerate your business. The time is now for you to improve efficiencies, grow revenue, profit, and lifetime customer loyalty. Please welcome your host, startup founder, and strategic advisor, Steve Hutt.
Well, welcome back to E-Commerce Fastlane. My name is Steve Hutt, and thanks for tuning in today. With so many podcasts out there to choose from, I truly appreciate the fact that you're picking today's episode, and you're going to gain a lot of insights and a lot of knowledge around growing your Shopify brand. In this case, actually improving some efficiencies. We're going to dig into that. Don't forget that all our episodes are available on all of the podcast apps and all the platforms like Apple, Spotify, Google, YouTube. We're actually now streaming live on Amazon Music now. They actually sent me a message and said, hey, Steve, do you want to be on Amazon Music? And I said, yeah, of course I do. I want to be on a new platform. So that's available there. So you can check that out. For a deeper dive, though, into all our topics and any additional resources, if you can head on over to our show notes, we'll be at ecommercefastlane.com. And there'll be a few extra tidbits there, some extended insights, I call it links, resources. And actually, we're even going to have a special listen-only bonus, so we'll talk about that too. Now, let's dig into today's episode. My guest is Eric Tong, and he is the director of global partnerships for a company called Badger Fulfillment Group. And what they are is they're a company, and they've carved out a very unique niche in the direct-to-consumer space. And they provide not just fulfillment, but they truly are a comprehensive kind of customer-centric and I'm going to say something interesting here, notably a very sustainable fulfillment solution for Shopify brands. And that's a key term. They are very, very unique. And they're not just an everyday third-party logistics provider. Their operations really, from my opinion, that's why I have them on the show today, they truly are a standout company through sustainability, efficiency, and they have amazing personalized service. They truly are a market leader in what they do. I'll tell you why. My air is going to get into this for sure. But their warehouse is actually powered by solar energy, and they are committed to utilizing eco-friendly packaging to ensure that all the products reach your customers and do so with the least amount of impact on our planet. So I know Eric and his team truly are redefining what it means to be a partner in a brand's growth journey. And we know that e-commerce is massively booming right now. And my hope with today's episode, with Eric's help, is we're really going to peel back the curtains a bit on e-commerce fulfillment and explore some of the challenges of that. Self-fulfilling, why do you go to a warehouse? How do you find the right partner? And we're going to share some insights. So it's hopefully going to be an exciting episode. So hi, Eric. Welcome. Long preamble, but welcome to e-commerce Fastlane.
Thank you very much, Steve. I appreciate Eric Tanja here. Yeah, really excited to partake in your podcast.
So to start off, could you briefly describe, I mentioned at the beginning of the show here, but can you describe a bit about Badger Fulfillment Group, the company, and some of the problems? I mean, there's some basic problems of obviously I'm sick of fulfilling my own products and I want a warehouse for someone to do it for me. But on a little bit higher level overall, like what sort of problems are you solving today for Shopify brands?
Yeah. So, you know, in this industry, it's a very fast paced growing industry. And with that, you know, there's a lot of things that customers need to think about that they may not until they're, you know, knee high into random issues. Yeah. You know, so we really try to educate customers, provide them with different cost scenarios and educate them about all the different things there is to know about fulfillment. And I think by personalizing that and doing that for customers, what you're really doing is helping them set them up for success. Maybe not with us, but in general, right? Because that's a piece that is super important because fulfillment's so new. Badgers really took the position on educating customers as they come in with different random terminologies and different services that are offered by a fulfillment company to make sure we're strategically setting them up for success. And by Badger being a sustainable, eco-friendly partner with them, you know, we also look for customers that have the same, you know, things of interest, which are sustainability, eco-friendly. And we want everything they can out of working with fulfillment companies. So Badger really educates, personalizes the service. We partner with companies that are the same, you know, such as sustainable practices and materials and things like that. And we really focus on the eco-friendly side of things.
Yeah, absolutely. All right. Well, I'm going to talk a little bit about the roots because it always fascinates me why people build or start a business. And in this case, you know, having a 3PL and fulfilling direct-to-consumer brands and their and all their orders. Are you able to talk a little bit about the founding story? Like how, like I'd like to understand the journey of Badger and kind of the inspiration behind the inception of the company.
Yeah. So when we started in 2017, we had a much smaller warehouse, right? With about 50,000 square feet. And we really focused on the B2B order side of the business. We had a local patent manufacturer where we got almost 100% of our B2B fulfillment from. And that was really the ground floor where we started. And as we continue to grow, it was incredible. But we saw the system with their D2C orders. And with this growth, 90% of it being Shopify customers. And so we came up with a new strategy. And we saw in this industry how service really suffered for a lot of early on brands and growing brands. And so what we did was is we decided to invest into solar and really focus on being eco-friendly and sustainable. So this facility, later on in April of 2023, we became all solar powered. We always try to find the eco-friendly packaging techniques and we created strategies for the incoming customers, you know, saying, you know, fulfillment industry, we took the service to a whole nother level with customer service. We dedicated a rep within the warehouse, which is unheard of in this industry. And we really focus on the one warehouse solution where we could really focus on service and offer the same price if you had multiple warehouses with the same delivery times. And so year after year, we've seen tremendous growth with this strategy. So a couple of things, eco-friendly sustainability, one-stop shop for all your needs. And the pricing, you know, it's the same as you would have if you're with multiple warehouses with the same delivery times. So we created a really unique strategy. It all started from a concept of, you know, shipping from a small facility, about 50,000 square feet. And now we have a brand new warehouse that we built and we own it ourselves.
Very cool. I'm going to pivot a bit to money because I think margin profit is a super important conversation. Like, I talk to brands a lot and they're trying to shave off a percent here and there on large volumes, it can make like a huge difference. And so I think there's a lot to unpack, but do you have any kind of money saving tips for those that are, you know, their products are being fulfilled by somebody, either themselves or a different partner.
Yep.
But I just be curious about, are there any efficiencies or any money saving tips that you can kind of recommend to people today?
Yeah. You know, this is a consultative type of approach when you're assisting somebody and setting up a partnership with them. It's not a transactional. So the cost scenarios that are out there have a lot to do with how your current fulfillment is going to be packaging your product. For example, you know, some things are dimensional weight, some things are actual weight. The carrier is going to use that heavier of the two. So if your fulfillment company decides to overpack or use a box that's too big, you know, that could be working at a disadvantage. And that's not an eco-friendly solution either, because there's a lot of wasted space. So you really need to make sure that, like, hey, your fulfillment company, and this goes back to service, working with the account manager of the warehouse, helping you figure out and showing you how they're going to pack it before you start that partnership, to make sure that, you know, we're using the best box that's suited for your product, not only for the cheapest possible price and the overall weight, but for the amount of space that's really necessary to have in the box, but then also taking consideration, you know, you don't want somebody to go out dimensional weight if it doesn't need to, right? And so there's a lot of factors that goes into it. And that's part of the education that we assist, having an account manager in the warehouse, we're able to assist them and show them different ways that we could set them up for success. So we work side by side with them. And that overall cost, you know, we do a lot of volume here. So we're able to share that cost, just like every other fulfillment, though. They all say, well, we'll all share our fee structure, our pricing with you based on volume.
Club it together, yeah.
Yeah, but that's not everything, right? A lot of it has to do with, like, hey, here's all my stuff. Show me how you can help me save money, right? Mm-hmm. And so, you know, there's a lot of little tricks that fulfillment companies will use to kind of, you know, make themselves more money. For example, if you spread yourself out all over the country and you're working with multiple warehouses, it's not really their warehouse. It could be somebody else that's fulfilling the orders. So they may not be able to service you from the warehouse. So they may not be able to show you how things are being packaged. And then, you know, ship it to yourself. Take a picture.
Yeah.
See how it's being. And then you can see how you could break down that cost, because they're using the wrong size box, for example, which could cost you more dimensional weight. They could be, you know, using material that adds more weight to it as necessary. And so think about that. Regional carriers aren't always a solution for pricing either. You know, some of the big companies that have multiple warehouses usually aren't giving that savings back to you. They're putting it in their own pocket, but then they're providing a cheaper service, which means less liability. So those factors come into price as well. Fulfillment, there's all kinds of things that you could do to really shave off a lot of pennies, and pennies are important in this business.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so you really need to think about all these different scenarios. You know, the packaging material you're using, you know, it needs to be protected too. You know, using a 100-pound box, which is, you know, you go to Uline, you look at boxes, and you want a cheap box. Just because the fulfillment company is using a cheap box, you don't want to use plastic tape where it could break open. You want to use water-based tape. It adheres to the package better. Well, is there additional cost that your fulfillment charges? Well, you know, for example, we don't charge extra for that, because it's all about making sure your package is being properly maintained as well. You know, how those other additional items that you need to have a nice package being shipped so you have less problems is going to cost you more, right? So there's an education there. So it's not really that easy to pinpoint one thing, because it's not a transactional process, a consultative process.
Yeah.
And so, you know, just... there's a little bit of information there, but it's really hard to pinpoint exactly how much you can save, but there's definitely ways to do it. A lot of it is just getting to know your fulfillment company and working with them to make sure they're using the right box sizes. You know, that's really important.
I'd argue too that the unboxing experience is very interesting too. I interviewed a founder recently from Arca. I think Arca is a fairly premier. They're in the Shopify ecosystem, and they create eco-friendly boxes. I think they even have some technology now that connects to a lot of 3PLs, maybe even you, or if not, we'll make a warm intro later. But so neat, where they actually work with the client and say, and they know how to reorder the customers, the client, your client's boxes, so that they can anticipate the lead time to create the boxes and have them shipped to the warehouse on behalf of the client. They've got back-end technology to kind of follow the trends of certain types and sizes of boxes for this quote unquote unboxing experience. Do you find that an interesting technology just to know that? I just would love to hear your thoughts first on the unboxing experience versus plain boxes, and then technology to kind of help a brand know one less thing to have to worry about. At least all the boxes for fulfillment are going to be available.
Yeah. The boxes being available and the speed that the boxes get to the warehouse isn't really an issue ever. You can get boxes in a couple of days if you have the right partnership. We partnership with Pret.com. They're really focused on eco-friendly packaging boxes. And, once you set up that relationship and there's communication started, that whole process heating boxes is really quick turnaround.
I'm going to talk about BFCM because it's right around the corner. I mean, holiday season, it's just, it's kind of a make or break. That's why they call it Black Friday, right? So that's the time when brands are supposed to start making money and you're losing all year except for this time. And, people are trying to get I think Harley Finkelstein brings up a lot at Shopify, talking about the share of wallet. People only have $1,500, whatever it is. And people are trying their best to be as quickly as possible to kind of get their share of that wallet. I'd love to hear from your perspective, just about how you're seeing Shopify retail. How are they preparing now for the increase in orders as it relates to your business, like the fulfillment side of that business?
Yeah. So when a customer, comes on, it starts with the fulfillment company, we'll start from there. We really want to set the expectation and what they should expect with a fulfillment company. You want to make sure that, we have 24-hour receiving times here, for example. Other companies have 3 to 5. Some fulfillment companies has much more. And if you're a company that just has your software in multiple warehouses around the country, it could be different for different fulfillment companies because different personnel work in there. So the reason why I bring that up is that, how much inventory should I send to you? Because I don't want to run out and have to wait 2 weeks to receive it, right? And so, how much inventory are you going to have? You should always have 2 months worth of inventory on hand. It's a good rule of, to go by. Once that inventory is in-house, you want to make sure that all your customizations that you have or want to do, you have out of the way a month ahead of time. For example, you want a nice insert, you want to have a nice thank you card. All those things come into play prior to setting up the perfect present for somebody when they open it up. So that Shopify, partnerships, we always tell them and work with them and send them out, emails letting them know different things that they're thinking about doing. Let's get together and have a discussion and figure out what they're doing so we can set the right timelines for them to do what they want to do to help their brand sell more.
We talk about returns because I think it's an unfortunate part of, it should be a profit center. But it sometimes it gets under people's skin a bit about having to do returns. And then as it relates to the fulfillment partner, lots of technologies out there that most brands are using. You think like Loop or Returnly, Happy Returns, Narvar. There's a whole bunch of technology that connects to Shopify that facilitates the exchange and giving credits and trying your best to do what they have to do. How do you connect to these tools? Well, the Shopify store, how do you connect? Number two, do you play nicely with some of these return solutions?
Yeah, so we do. Our software is very robust and a lot of, we don't own our own software. Let's be completely transparent. We're helping support someone's brand. It's probably the most important thing. So we have multiple ways or companies we can work. Happy Returns, Loop Return. There's tons of them out there that will integrate with our software. And quite honestly, the technology piece of things is very easy to do nowadays with the API integrations and everything.
I used to manage a very large fashion brand in LA, 3 or 4 locations, massive $200 million brand in Glendale, California. And I went for a tour in their warehouse back in the day, and I was really shocked the amount of people they had in the returns department, where literally a 40-foot container or truck would show up like every day almost or every second day full of returns. And the amount of process that has to go with, is this like, are we just going to chuck it? Or are we going to repackage it back up? I think in the apparel market, it's really interesting. So I want to hear what your take is on that.
Yeah.
We can have returns, but then is there a process in place of like, how do we I don't even know what the word is, but like prep it so that it's ready for somebody else. If you refurbish it, repackage it, or do you sell it to a third party? I just want to hear your feedback on that.
Yeah. So, you know, taking a little step back. And so we really focus on products that are smaller than a basketball, right? And the reason why, there's all kinds of benefits when it comes to your shipping rates, your time deliveries. And so we really look at people's products when they come in the front door and set the real expectation what to expect based on the product that they have. So let's take clothing, for example. A good clothing company might have 300 SKUs and do 10,000 shipments a month, right? And so we look at the overall picture prior to them coming in. We set the real expectations, and we want to ask them the questions like, hey, how would you like this repacked? Does it need to have tissue paper? Does it need to have does it need to go in a certain type of poly mailer? Does it need to be branded with anything? And so, and do you want us to smell it? So we do a lot of basic things, such as, you know, we do a spot check. We open it up, turn it around. Is it obviously smell? Does it obviously look worn? And then we repackage it in a poly bag, if we're using clothing as an example. But we certainly do a little bit more due diligence than that. But that's generally what we do.
And the reason I brought this up is because I recommended one brand who their warehouse, the 3PL that they were working with, didn't want to go down that rabbit hole of having to make decisions on behalf of the brand if it's suitable for resale or not. And so they decided to partner up with Happy Returns, and then they have all these return bars at every FedEx location in the US and Canada. And then they had a relationship with once again, Happy Returns, I'm not trying to plug them, but they have a very unique solution because, you know, you can drop it off there and then they have a big tote full of just your returns. And then, you know, every couple of weeks, a plastic tote was a one-time journey back to whatever warehouse you want. And then, so this brand now works with Happy Returns and now they're just taking the returns back themselves and they have it in their own kind of warehouse area and they're figuring out what they want to do with their brand and those returns. And they feel that there's, you know, the loop is closed about, well, where is it? Oh, with Happy Returns now, great. We can offer credit and the customer can go and buy something new now. All of that flows and works and then it keeps the 3PL happy, not having to make decisions on behalf of the brand. So.
Yeah. And that goes back to the initial, you know, conversation we have with a customer, you know, because it's really about what they want. Can we set it up that way? Sure, absolutely. We can do that. We have customers that do that. We prefer to not have returns come here when there are very high volume returns, such as clothing. Right. But there are some customers that in having conversation and working with them that we're more than happy to donate it for them, to toss in the garbage, to do a little extra for them. I mean, we're open to doing things differently. Our software has that capabilities without any problems at all. And we can integrate and work with Happy Returns as well. And I agree. I think they have a great return application.
I want to pivot a bit to a story now, because I think stories, like my listeners agree with this. I get a lot of feedback on social, but it's usually the semi highlight of the show is just like, hey, I get motivated when I hear a story and think, hey, that could be me. And they did this and look at the outcome that they got. So hopefully it'll be on the spot here, but is there any way you could share a story a bit about maybe a Shopify brand that is now a Badger customer? I just would love to uncover like what motivated them from their past fulfillment process in-house or another third party, and they became a customer of Badger. And then what does their new reality look like?
Yeah. I have a whole bunch, but I won't go into the whole array of them, but
okay.
Because the fulfillment business is so new.
Yeah.
And we really need to do a good job in making sure we're taking on the right customer, right? For everybody's sake. And so with me, I had a customer, I'll just call them, you know, their eco-friendly laundry detergent is called Aspen. Okay. Aspen was with a very well-known partner of, you know, like a very well-known fulfillment company that has multiple warehouses around the country. They have great software they own. I don't want to say who they are, just, you know, to be respectful. But when you grow and growth is really your main concern in partnerships and the marketing is so powerful that you're driving so much business, I think brands suffer. Mm-hmm. Probably shouldn't have been with them. It wasn't a good fit for the type of fulfillment company, you know, they are. And because of that, the customer, you know, really suffered, you know. So when they looked to us, you know, they wanted to make sure that they had communication with the management. They wanted to make sure they had communication within the warehouse. They had, you know, very high percentage of their products would leak in transit. And this, you know, when you're shipping a liquid product, it's very challenging. And so Aspen, when they came to me, the quality of service was so poor, they just had enough. And this is a company that is very well known. They ship, you know, quite a few products every month.
Right.
And it was so important to them that they jump ship so fast that we got them up and running in no time. And a lot of the things that we did differently was just give them feedback, right? Email them, you know, within an hour or less, sending them pictures, showing them how products are coming in, giving them our feedback. You know, they wanted communication. It just wasn't there. They wanted their product to be, in fact, when this product was shipped to me as an example, because I wanted to see what I was working with, because, you know, maybe it's not the fulfillment company. Maybe it's the way the product's being packaged, right? Maybe it's poorly manufactured. That could be a case. So when I got this, I'm like, wow, this is manufactured very well. There are some tips I'd like to give you feedback on. But it was even leaking when it was dropped off at our warehouse to look at. And so that experience with the holidays coming up in a few months, they decided to come over with us. They've been with us for, you know, 4 months now, I think.
You brought up a good point about the type of warehouse that a brand would need. And I have a lot of brands that are in the CPG market, supplements, protein powder. And they have they require lots. They have lot numbers associated to them all that need to be managed and organized. And they also have temperature control challenges. So can you address that a little bit?
Yeah. So temperature controlled. You know, that is extremely important. So some people say, oh, we're temp controlled because they leave the garage door open. You know, the dust comes in, gets all...
No.
I had a fulfillment customer, real funny story. He comes, drops all his stuff off, and he does pretty well. And he's in cosmetics, not fulfillment, supplements, CPG.
Right.
But, you know, it's very dusty. He brings it. I'm like, what's with all the dust over this, you know?
Yeah.
And he goes, oh, well, they leave the door open to keep it cool. So here we're truly temperature control, FDA registered. So we follow a strict guideline. We are a food grade fulfillment provider. We make sure that everything, all lots are managed properly in the system. Our system will update your set of thresholds. So you always know to keep your inventory where it's at. We always ship out the oldest item first. So if it's returned, that's the first one going out. And we have a lot of supplement companies. I mean, we have hundreds and hundreds of brands here. It is temp controlled as well.
Very cool. All right. Thanks for sharing that. Let's talk about the future of Badger. I'm always fascinated. Like, you obviously are doing something well in the Shopify world from a direct-to-consumer space and a single warehouse. You have a very, I'd call it, you mentioned too, about this consultative approach to really wanting to help a brand. You may not be everything to everybody, but you're certainly something for a lot of people. And so that could be someone listening today. I just like to understand what the future looks like. Like, for the remainder of this year or even into 2024, is there anything that we can look forward to about kind of where's Badger headed? You have a certain amount of technology and infrastructure today. Where do you see the brand going?
Yeah. So we see our organization not as a growth company, but as tailored towards service. We want to maintain a couple 100% growth every year. We're a family-owned business with financial, you know, we're financially doing very well. But we really want to pick and choose and work with the customer's brands that makes sense for what we're trying to do. And that is trying to provide a service to a customer to help them with their brand. And so we see ourselves, you know, growing. You know, we'll outgrow this warehouse probably within a year and a half. And then we're going to, you know, look for more space and possibly build another building. Solar power is something that's really important to us, eco-friendly sustainability. We're going to continue to partner with companies that have that same philosophy. In other words, partner not just with the customer partnerships, but companies like Pratt.com who offer, you know, eco-friendly packaging. And so we're going to continue that model. We're going to continue to add account managers in our warehouse as we grow, continue to provide services to customers, and just continue to grow slowly. But grow at a rate that we can be recognized for a very very, very strong service focused company, not so focused on growth. Not that we aren't, but
yeah,
you know, that's kind of the goal.
So you're in Harvard, Illinois. Is this yes. very intentional being kind of in Central America? What's the benefits? Because you talked a lot about the challenges with multi-warehouse mm-hmm. kind of 3PL opportunities and it's sunny in California and you're sold out of one product. We have to transfer things over from another warehouse and there's costs associated to inter-warehouse transfer. So I just want to understand your mindset about why Illinois and what's the benefits of being in Central America?
I love that question. So when you're in the Midwest, you're going to average zone 4 or 5. You know, no matter how you look at it, California's, you know, unless you just focus in California, you're going to, you know, average zone 4 or 5. So when you're looking at fulfillment companies, look at zones cost 4 or 5. If they're in the Midwest, you know, not just the Midwest, centrally located, right? Cause you always got to go around to a different, you know, shipping center, you know, it's always got to go somewhere, right? So even if you have multiple warehouses, it's still moving around. You're just using different regional carriers and, you know, supplying an idea. But with us being Midwest, customers average zone of 4 or 5 and we get 2 to 4 days shipping is our standard shipping time. And then we can do 2 days too, right? And so most people, you know, if your standard shipping is averaging 3 days and then, you know, you're looking at using multiple warehouses and say you're doing that and say this customer or there's fulfillment companies in, say, Los Angeles, you know, it's still going to probably take 3 days to get to Las Vegas if you look at it 75% of the time. Yeah. And so why spread yourself out all over the place? Why ship directly from China or other places? Because you're not going to have this service. You know, what happens if something happens? Say a customer calls you up and says, hey, I need the customer saying this wasn't included in the package. Well, you got that account manager that goes out there and can weigh it for you, take a picture, show you, and you get back to a customer.
Right.
So those multiple warehouses and the costs and all the structure, it all kind of revolves around the same idea. Let's stay in the Midwest. Let's stay in zone 4. Let's not, you know, create a need for multiple warehouses. Let's focus on the service and the brand. And then being in Illinois, that's a huge benefit because we're in the Midwest and there's a lot of major hubs around here, which helps increase the speed.
Yeah. Just looking at the map right now, being Canadian, I don't say that I'm naive to what's going on in America, but I'm looking at the map going, okay, that kind of makes sense. That's a good spot to be in relation to, being in that zone and being able to go east or west from that point. Because how does Canada fit into this mix? Because the reason I ask is because I always joke with my merchants. I say, do you ship to Canada yet? We'll talk about the duty and tax compliance and the brokerage and all that kind of, that's a whole separate conversation, but you know, Shopify is helping with that. But I always tell people, if you're not shipping to Canada, it's exactly the same thing as not shipping to California or New York or Texas or Florida, because there's like 38 million people living in Canada. Well, that's what's in California. So do you want to have California removed from your potential customer base? No. Okay. So why are you not shipping to Canada? And so how do you fit into that mix?
Yeah. So part of the initial conversation again, you know, the needs analysis, we'll call it if you're thinking about a transactional sale, but it's not. We're consolidating because we want to know what their plan is, where they plan on growing. So say they're planning on growing in Canada, you know, or anywhere for that matter. So Canada is a great place for people to ship. I think DHL has a pretty good, you know, you have FedEx too, has a great shipping time. I mean, if you have a product within Canada, you're probably looking at 3 to 8 days to ship within Canada. So why not the duties and taxes being paid? You communicate correctly with your customer. You set up the tariff codes in your system and, you know, you help support that customer, get that package to Canada within, you know, 3 to 5 days. Sometimes now with all the technology and all these national carriers, you can get a product to a customer within 2 to 3 days to Canada.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's the type of product. If you're shipping skincare, it's a little more trickier, right? Mm-hmm. So the answer to the question, you know, is very broad, right? So it's really about figuring all the scenarios that they're looking for, but we can certainly provide them with under 6 days anywhere within Canada for a very, very reasonable price.
And I'd argue
it's not hard.
Yeah. And you know what? I'd argue too that one advantage of maybe not having a warehouse location whoever the partner is in Canada. I mean, if the bulk of your business is happening in America, I think the best thing, and a very large men's soap brand that I managed to did exactly the same thing. That's what I recommended to do. I said, why don't you just get a select amount of SKUs? Why don't you IP redirect to the Canadian site, not a full SKU selection. Let's just kind of see the market in Canada and kind of see what happens. And so they turned on Shopify Markets, which is a connection we have to allow for duty and tax in cart. So it's crossing borders. Some are duty free, some are tax free. All depends on the pricing. But like you said, put the tax codes in.
Yes.
And it just works. And it was amazing. They really got to do a proper analysis for a few months of saying, well, how big is the Canadian market for us? Organically, paid traffic, try to figure it all out. They did some good research. Eventually, it turned out to them that, hey, it made sense for them to have a wholly owned warehouse through a partner in Canada direct, just more for speed reasons. And but at the end of the day, it's worth a really good test. Sounds like, you know, that, you know, Badger can really help consultatively with some technology of, hey, you can still show duty and tax in cart thanks to Shopify Markets. And so at least, because that's another thing I'll just put as a side note, it happens. Canadians are notoriously, the conversion rate of Canadians on American brands is much lower than the domestic American conversion rate. And the reason why is because 70-some% of the brands that Canadians want to shop at are American brands, and they know, Canadians know it has to cross borders. And if you're not showing duty and tax in the cart, or you have some crazy warning that says, hey, we're not responsible for the potential duty and brokerage that may result in receiving your package, like, what? Nope, delete, see you later. My wife sent you just like, no thanks. Versus having Shopify Markets connected, and now you're being transparent, saying, oh, okay, there's gonna be an extra $12 for duty and tax on this. Okay. At least they're transparent, and that is attached to the label, and you, and the, that money is collected, it goes to the Canadian government, everyone's happy. So
And that's a great point, Stephen. That's part of the education in the beginning stages of different ways of doing it. And transparency is everything in this business if you want your brand to be successful. And you need to do that. And so it doesn't, to me, like, I see some very successful brands shipping from America into Canada, but they're doing exactly what you just said. And so, but some people don't know how to use those features and benefits within Shopify. And, you know, we never want to call ourselves an expert at the Shopify, you know, pros and cons. Mm-hmm. We do, but we really try to educate customers on different ways they could do it and then let them figure out how to do it, right? And by doing that, you're helping them. Yeah. I think it's a great tool that Shopify created.
Yeah, I mean, it's more of a side note before I go to my kind of close to my last question, but we buy quite a bit of stuff from American brands powered by Shopify, and it's in car things like Brooklinen, for example, or Chubby Shorts. I'm thinking Mac Weldon. I'm wearing a Mac Weldon shirt right now. It's just like these are not fulfilled domestically from within Canada, but they get here quite quickly. And we're happy because it's duty and tax in cart. You just pay it. It is what it is. And I think that just overall, just it's brand loyalty because you're just being honest and transparent in cart. Guarantee the conversion rate has gone up by having.
I love it. I love that you're talking about this. And, you know, fulfillment is so new and you don't need to be all over the country, all over the world with warehouses. Keep it simple. Use the benefits in the strategic ways that Shopify sets you up for success.
Yeah.
You just need to know and be educated on how to do it. Right. And that's part of the game.
So we are nearing the end of the show, but let's talk a little bit about next steps. So you shared a lot about the differences between having a multi-warehouse location, talking about your brand ethos of like, what do you want to be known for? The unboxing experience, the eco-friendliness, the partnership, this... You brought up a lot of consultative things. It's pretty amazing that you offer all of this. It sounds like it's very clearly not just a transaction. It's actually a partnership. And I really appreciate that. I just want to know if there's anything that you want to kind of share with our listeners, any kind of parting notes, and kind of where the next steps are for people listening today.
Yeah. You know, Steve, I think we're a niche in this industry when it comes to service. I think the account manager physically located within the warehouse, I'm not talking about a call center or in a different location. I'm talking about somebody get off their chair and walk in there and you know, do maybe a little side favor for you once in a while. They're there to support you, not run your business.
Right.
But we were very stern and very focused on the type of customer that's a good fit for us, smaller than a basketball. Because we know that if it's smaller than a basketball, chances are we can ship it anywhere for a very reasonably, reasonable price. Mm-hmm. But then we want a customer to be able to work with us. We want to be able to educate them. We want to consultate with them. We want them to consolidate with us. We want partnerships. That's what we are. That's who we are to you. We want to help your brand be successful. I don't care how many warehouses you need. If you want service and you want a good price and you want it there in 2 to 4 days, or you want a 2-day service and you can sell that and you can sell your brand, the service side of things are going to be very, very important to you. Service, be eco-friendly, think about the environment, sustainable practices,
Right.
Kitting, you want a good kitting price. Let us do a time study. Let us figure out how we can create and what we can do. Let me look at your box. Let me give suggestions. Let me use all my knowledge to share with you. And we want to, as a team, help you put together that experience and put it in a box. And we think we do a pretty good job. We want to continue to do that.
That's lovely. So it's Badger FG, so Fulfillment Group. So Badger, BadgerFG.com. So you can go there, get to the website and have a look. I'm sure there's phone numbers, there's emails, all this stuff. I'll put it in the show notes also. I know we had a little chit chat kind of before recording, and I understand that if this is the right fit for someone and they get on one of these calls and we talk about the process of what Badger offers, I said there's some kind of little promotional offer that you want to, I guess, share with some of my listeners if Badger's right for them.
Yeah. I mean, let's give every listener, let's make storage something that, they could really appreciate. So for the first 3 months, we're going to give you 50% off on all our storage fees. Okay. So if you're with some national carriers and they charge you $40 for a pallet or, $20 for a shelf or something, we're already half as much as that. So if we cut that in half, right, for the first 3 months, maybe we could do even 6 months. No, but we're going to stick with 3 months. We'll do 50% off our storage fees. We feel that is very, very important, to give that discount to customers.
Love it.
So three months.
Yeah, this is lovely. So what I'll do, I'll put all that in the show notes. It'll be ecommercefastlane.com/Badger. And that's going to redirect to that little offer that Eric mentioned. And I just, this has been really eye-opening. I really feel like there's a meeting of the minds here that it really is part of a brand ethos. It's not just having a great product and branding. It really is the post-purchase experience. And I think you guys really check a lot of those boxes being very cost-effective. I love this eco-conscious sustainability kind of mindset with the solar-powered thing and the whole thing. I think that's fantastic. Customer-centric. I mean, you brought up a lot about this consultative approach. I think this is fantastic. You truly are a partner with these D2C brands versus maybe then just being a 3PL provider, transactional. It's more like, no, we're here to help you overall consultatively from packaging all the way through to returns and the unboxing. I just wanted to thank you for coming on the show today and sharing all this. It's been really insightful.
Let's be inspirational. Let's help each other. And Steve, I appreciate you giving me that ability to be on this show. And if you need Aspen's contact information where you can reach out to them, by any means, I'm sure they loved it to be on your show.
Absolutely.
So
I love customer stories.
So
yeah, this is great. Well, have yourself an awesome day. Thanks for giving back to the Shopify ecosystem. Have yourself a great afternoon.
Thank you very much, Steve. Be good. Bye-bye.
All right. Take care. Well, that's it for today's episode. I'd like to thank you personally for being a loyal listener of eCommerce Fastlane. It's my hope that this podcast is offering you a ton of value through growth strategies, tactics, and exclusive insider tips on the best Shopify apps and marketing platforms, all with my personal goal to help you build, manage, grow, and scale a successful and thriving company powered by Shopify. Thanks for investing some time today and listening to the show. I'm so proud and excited that you have a growth mindset and are a constant learner. I truly appreciate you and your entrepreneurial journey. Enjoy the rest of the week and keep thriving with Shopify.